listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome in. It is another Fox Football Sunday here, Fox Sports Radio. Mike Harmon alongside Bucky Brooks. You see him on the Amazon coverage on Thursday Night Football. He's NFL Network here on Fox Sports Radio. You see him on FS1. Read his columns, foxsports.com, at Bucky Brooks on Twitter. He is the man about town, and he's grinding himself through that first third of this NFL season. And he looks good. He's holding up really nicely, despite all of those jobs, all of that hustling that I just laid out. What's going on, man?
Man, things are good. No complaints. It's a great football weekend. We had good games yesterday, and now we're looking forward to a great football Sunday, so I'm excited about it.
Let's go into the chaos that was Saturday. There's one game in particular that stood out. Not necessarily, I mean, the game itself was absolutely insane, but in the middle of the week, also some comments that kind of got pushed aside because of everything else going on in the NBA starting up and the NFL and continued, you know, hand-wringing and concern over what happens with all of these 650,000 emails out of that Washington football team probe was Illinois beating Penn State 20-18 on a 9-overtime game, one of the most insane things I think we've ever watched, and just going back and forth, like, all right, you had all these rules put in place to hopefully get things to an end. You didn't. Then you had a quarterback get hurt. You had a bunch of reverses, all sorts of crazy play calls down the stretch. But Illinois comes up with the massive upset, creating chaos in the Big Ten, and certainly for a number of our friends who, especially here at Fox Sports Radio, who are Penn State alumni.
Look, it was a huge surprise. Coming off the week, Illinois, Brett Bielema talked about his team and not having enough players. And that's kind of basically what he said, that the guys that he inherited that had been recruited over the last couple years were not within the top two spots on the depth chart. And so to me, I was like, man, that's very disrespectful of the guys that are there. But evidently, the little motivational tactic worked. His guys played for him yesterday. They knocked off Penn State. Penn State was number 7. Penn State had their starting quarterback, Sean Clifford, return. And so it was a big win. Big win for Illinois. Kind of pushed him back on the map, and maybe Bielema's back in his team's good graces.
That was the curiosity, though, right? Because it was something I know you commented on Twitter. For me, it just hit all sorts of wrong. It's one thing to, you know, behind the scenes, you want to go after what Lovie Smith, the players he recruited, and the team that was built, and a different type of guy, different type of coach, right? Lovie Smith is a completely different guy than Brett Bielema. Like, to go in front of the public, and then after the fact saying, well, they were completely taken out of context. No, they weren't. This goes back to Doc Rivers when he was asked about Ben Simmons after they lost. Is this a guy you can win a title with? I don't know. But I didn't. And then 3 months later, he's trying to say, I didn't say that. And we saw a bunch of guys in the media carrying water for him on that one. It's like, no, own what you said. Same thing with Brett Bielema here. You basically ripped your roster, said these guys had no business playing at Illinois right now and shouldn't be a part of your depth chart.
Yeah.
And then now you're trying to backtrack. I was taken out of context. No, you said what you said.
He did say what he said. And it's just, look, it works. Like in the college game, weird things happen. He was able to kind of make amends. I know they had team meetings and discussed all those things, and they were able to kind of get it figured out. But I was just surprised, and I was shocked just from a leader taking that stand when it came to those players and who he'd inherited and wanting those guys to play hard for him. And so it's just, it worked out. They were 1-0 for the week, and then they'll move on.
Yeah, it's always the curiosity. Like, you know, you coach, right? High school football leader, mentor, and you see all the different approaches people take. This is one tactic I did not expect to work. Now, obviously, it became a very odd game.
Yeah.
But there's no disputing that they played hard for him, right? Because it would have been very easy to be a let-up game.
Yeah, look, everything was in Penn State's favor in this game in terms of just how Illinois could approach it, looking at their coach sideways and all of those things. But they rallied around their coach. They rallied together. They wanted to prove to him and to others that they were a good team, that this team had good players. And it looked like it. Like, this is a very competitive game. 9 overtimes, though. I never need to see 9 overtimes
Nobody needs to see that.
9 overtimes, we don't need to see that again.
I mean, I like extra football and all, but at some point it becomes absurd. The other one was, bunch of good games. It was a slate that wasn't necessarily full of marquee games. Oregon with the escape. Iowa State had the most inane, taunting penalty, unsportsmanlike conduct. So they lost a touchdown. They end up winning, beating Oklahoma State by 3, right? 24-21, number 8 goes down. And then Oklahoma, slow start once again. And then we see Caleb Williams. I got to think he's right now far and away your Heisman.
I mean, it's crazy.
Heisman guy, right?
It's crazy. He's kind of jumped in the mix. Takes over for Spencer Rattler, who was a Heisman hopeful, but he gets him going, and Oklahoma was struggling. He finds a way to kind of get him out the doldrums. They get on track. They reel off a bunch of points, and they win the game. And it's shaping up to be Oklahoma again in the Big 12 championship game, and that's certainly – he gets on that big stage, and he shows out in those games. It'll give him an opportunity to do it.
It's just funny because going in, it's like, all right, it's Kansas. And then all of a sudden, Kansas is hanging around. I was like, is this the chaos moment of our college football season? And, well, it wasn't. All right, let's hit the rewind button at the start here of week 7 already of the National Football League. And we had the 17-14 Cleveland over Denver win on Thursday Night Football. Aesthetically, it left some things to be desired. But, look, we celebrate all 272. Case Keenum, solid. Basically did what Baker Mayfield did a year ago, right? Mm-hmm. Don't make mistakes, hit a high completion percentage, and then the run game's going to work. Now, when you saw that De'Ernest Johnson was going to be the starter, maybe not the same level of confidence, right? Both Nick Chubb out and Kareem Hunt. But the thing that stood out, right, is Denver goes down and gets the score, and they're able to sit on the ball with De'Ernest Johnson. 7 carries, 52 yards, and they eat up the final 5:17 of the clock. Just an amazing finish. Von Miller had left with injury, but for Cleveland, a really gutty performance for Kevin Stefanski's squad.
Yeah, very gutty performance. The system is fantastic that Kevin Stefanski employs, and it's one of those where any and every running back that comes in and has an opportunity does really well within the system. Give a lot of credit to Stump Mitchell, the running backs coach, for getting De'Ernest Johnson ready to play, but they smashed. Now, I would say that the Browns let up off the gas in terms of the success they had on the running game early. They got to get away from it, let Case Keenum maybe throw too much. But big win for them. And it's a big win for them because when you look at Case Keenum and you look at the way that they had to gut up, a lot of guys that were injured and banged up played, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, handful of other guys that you didn't know if they were going to play or not. But they sucked it up and they made it happen. And so for this team to get the win, have the extended days to rest and recuperate, gives them a chance to kind of get going down the second half of the season.
Other side, Vic Fangio and Denver, another game that they're in but can't finish off. Teddy Bridgewater played. You got Cortland Sutton, finishes with 68 receiving yards, and both the running backs scored. That equal split continues for another week, but another disappointing loss, and the seat getting pretty hot for Fangio in Denver.
Yeah, it absolutely is getting hot because this is a team, there were a lot of expectations. A lot of expectations on this team to be a playoff team. And we expected them to be a playoff team because of the talent that they have on offense and defense at the skill positions. Defensively, the pass rushers, corners, they invested in that part of it. And that's how you have to play to win in this version of the National Football League. And then on the offensive side, invested in running backs. They had wide receivers on the perimeter that can play. And you just wanted to know, could they get a quarterback? And so you thought Teddy Bridgewater, a guy who has playoff experience, a guy who has been solid when he's played with good teams, would be able to get it done. And right now, there's just a disconnect. It just doesn't fit. Everybody needs to play better. And so they're sitting right here languishing at the back of the pack in AFC West. And it's tough, man, because you look at the teams in that division, Raiders, Chiefs, Chargers, all are solid.
No room for error. So those close games, you've got to be on the plus side and certainly waiting to get their speed receivers back. All right, that one's in the rearview mirror. We only have 12 more games for this NFL week 7. 6 teams on the bye. Yeah, that's right. Buffalo, Dallas, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Chargers, and and just an absolute mess when it comes down to it. So we'll keep an eye and we'll get into that because, well, fantasy strange bedfellows. Week 7 is what it becomes. Some calling it the buy-again. Yeah, I'll give you credit, Fabiano. It's not a great term, but we'll work with it. All right, let's get to the first of those remaining games.
Bears and Buccaneers.
11.5 or 12-point spread, whenever you're getting in. 47, you're over, under. The big win for the Bears, their art department did some really good graphics of Bears taking over a pirate ship. So that was kind of cool, Bucky. So we got some good animation running out of it, as it were. But you look at the injury reports, absolutely huge. Akeem Hicks out on that defensive front for the Bears. Gibson out in the secondary, as well as a whole list of questionables. You had Damian Williams got activated. Allen Robinson with the ankle expected to play, but Khalil Mack still limited as well. For the Buccaneers, no Antonio Brown, no Lavonte David. We know Gronkowski and Richard Sherman are out. A couple of other questionable tags, and that secondary still banged up. But for Khalil Herbert, ran very well last week against the Packers. That same running room most likely will not be there against this stout Tampa Bay front, so a lot of it comes down to what can the young quarterback Justin Fields do against the defense? You've got Jimmy Graham went to the COVID list, which means Cole Kmet is up as a captain. Mm. Does that mean he finally actually gets fed for once?
I don't know if he ever gets fed. Here's the thing. This game is all about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' ability to stay focused. Home game for them, even though they're missing some players. Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski won't be there. Still more than enough weapons for this team to get it done. I just love the maturity and what we've seen from this team. I think Tom Brady will have his guys ready to go. It's going to be tough for the Bears.
Antoine Winfield returns for the Tampa secondary, and Jason Pierre-Paul didn't practice but has the outside shot of being up for this one for Bruce Arians. I did like his admission during the week, being asked all about the quarterback meetings and offensive meetings. He's like, I don't even bother. That's not my job. It's Leftwich's job,
which I thought
was a nice hey. Give him some credit for what we're able to accomplish right now with Brady over 2,000 passing yards, 17 touchdowns, 3 picks, and this offense humming.
No, I think he is trying to make sure that everyone understands who's running the show on the offense side of the ball, Byron Leftwich. He wants his young protege to have an opportunity to be a head coach, and the only way he can do that is to make sure that the football world knows that Byron Leftwich has plenty of responsibility, and he also is the guy calling the plays.
All right, so Tampa Bay wins the game. Do they cover the 11.5 or 12?
Yeah, I'm going to give the Bucs. I think they cover. I think they handle it.
Yeah, I think you've got the opportunity for Fields to have to try to press, and, well, that's a bad, bad recipe. Also, Leonard Fournette, I'm looking for him to feast, especially since he's been such a big part of the passing game as well. All right, we'll continue with the games of Week 7 here on Fox Football Sunday. But a reminder, Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. And it's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So learn more at discover.com/yes, based on a 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations do apply. Coming up next, well, a game that you can get into for $11. That's right, an NFL game for $11. We talk about this bargain hunting next on Fox. Hey, welcome back in. It's Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside Bucky Brooks. Fantasy questions, get them in. I'll answer them as the show develops and as we get into the 8 a.m. Pacific hour. Yeah, in those final 2 hours as we start getting more injury notes. We got Isaac Lowenkron on the updates, keeping an eye on all of the insiders and all the fun and excitement that'll start flowing down. Chris Perfett on the ones and two. Pride of Detroit is where you read him at, Chris Perfett on Twitter. We got our guy Nick Battaglia as our executive producer, and he is decked head to toe in Atlanta Falcons gear. So it's only right we go to that game. You know why? Because you can get in for $11.
My name, my touch. Falcons and Dolphins.
All right, Falcons 2.5 or 3-point favorites, depending on where you're seeing it.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
That's about what you can get in for. Maybe you find a guy on the street, you can get that dollar hookup. 47.5 is your total. Bucky in this one, Dante Fowler Jr. is out, Avery Williams. So the back seven is certainly banged up there for Atlanta. But the Dolphins, yes, they played in London last week. They said, we don't need no stinking bye now. Let's play. Let's play. Jacksonville said, yeah, we need a bye. Let's take a week off. The Dolphins saying, no, we're here. Xavier Howard, Byron Jones, all questionable, but expected to go. Preston Williams, Devontae Parker, a number of your principal playmakers, both in your secondary and on your offense. For Tua Tagovailoa, we saw him last week, Bucky, and he came out like a house fire. Now you got Jaylen Waddle, finished with a career high. I know it's only six games, but career high in receiving yards. His target count has been up and his snap count is up. A couple of touchdown receptions. So you got to feel good about that. And especially if they can get Parker and some of these other playmakers back up along with Gesicki. You got to figure out the running game eventually. That's a whole other mess that hasn't been sorted out. Miles Gaskin has not been the guy that they hoped would elevate. Malcolm Brown fix in at the, and leeching off goal line touches. But again, it was another week of speculation about Tua's job. So once again, Brian Flores had to address that.
Yeah, this is such a weird situation down in Miami, what's going on, because a season that began with so much optimism about this team being a playoff team has really unraveled. And so now you have Brian Flores, you have Chris Greer trying to figure out how to take this team and go forward. You have the rumors of Deshaun Watson coming on board while still trying to nurture a young quarterback who everyone wanted you to tank for. It's a lot of dysfunction going on in Miami right now. Here's what I believe to be true, though. Tua Tagovailoa has been playing pretty well. He played pretty well across the pond. You want to build upon that. Jaylen Waddle being a factor. They got to get the ball out his hands, allow him to go to work. It's a tough team, though. It's a tough deal because the Atlanta Falcons are also beginning to kind of find their stride on Arthur Smith.
Starting to see a little more of Kyle Pitts, Calvin Ridley, the personal issues. He's back and ready to go. So from the offensive perspective, you know, looking to see some more. And we've talked about Cordero Patterson, the Swiss Army knife that they're learning to deploy. You know, the Deshaun Watson thing, you know, not to belabor the point. We've got a lot of games to get to. But you know, folks that are incredulous about it, it's like it's one of those situations. You may like Tua, you may love Tua. If Deshaun Watson's available, Deshaun Watson is a ready-made, proven top five quarterback. So, yes, you're going to kick the tires.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if he's available and the price is coming down to where now we can really talk.
Due diligence, and you want to make sure that you have a pretty good feel for what's coming down the pipe when it comes to his legal issues and how the league is going to take care of that. You also have to have a plan in place to deal with the PR nightmare that's going to ensue when he comes on board. All of those things have to be planned out. On the field, there's no denying he's a top five player. When you look at him and you look at Tua, like, he offers more because we've seen him do it at a high level as recently as last year for a team that was 4-12. And so if you are a team in desperation mode, and we all know that you need a franchise quarterback to have a chance, you have to kick the tires on Deshaun Watson. If the price is right, you have to pull the trigger, knowing that there's going to be a firestorm of criticism that comes along with it.
Yeah, there's a lot. It's the risk-reward proposition. We always talk about it when you have a special player, right? Because remember, Trader Bill had gotten rid of all of his assets around him, and he still had a big year a year ago. But much to be decided on that, depositions and everything else down the line. But we got to acknowledge it because it was one of the big storylines moving during the course of this week. For the Falcons, 2-3 wins over the Giants and the lowly New York Jets coming out of a bye week. Losses to Philly, Tampa, and, well, Washington. A team that is, well, we'll talk about them in hour two in terms of after a third of the season, there's just a lot of head scratchers because that defense still hasn't gotten off a bus 6 weeks into the season. But Atlanta, given 2 or 2.5, depending how you're playing, it's still under that key number of 3 on the road at Miami. What say you, Bucky?
I'm going to take the Atlanta Falcons in this one. I just like the way they're playing. Kyle Pitts, they found a way to get him going. And that was critical because without Calvin Ridley, they got him going. So now can you bring both players onto the field and get them each going in their own respective ways? I feel like Arthur Smith will certainly find a way to get it done, so I'm going to go with the Falcons.
Yeah, this is one where I normally don't, you know, you can't do the, well, Atlanta defense is really bad. Well, Miami's not putting up 30 points a game, right? So this is the one where you can be an okay to middling defense and get by because your offense is starting to find its stride and coming out of a bye week, expecting big things. Yeah, Atlanta by a field goal in this one. Next!
Jets and Patriots.
All right, Patriots, 7-point favorites against Zach Wilson and the New York Football Jets. 42.5 is your line on your over-under for this one. For the Patriots, a lot of barking this week. You had Johnny Smith, amongst others, saying, hey, we're a better team than this. And yeah. they've played pretty well, right? You get the overtime loss against Dallas, a team that, you know, everybody expects to just romp over folks. And yes, you got your money if you bet Dallas to beat this, you know, cover the number. I get that. But you had the loss, the win the week prior over Houston, a hard-fought game, the narrow loss to Tampa in the rain on that Sunday night affair. New Orleans when we were still trying to figure out what they were. And then that week one loss to Miami when Damian Harris fumbled the ball on what should have been at least a field goal try. So, yeah, they've played pretty well. For the Jets, it's another year of, all right, we're rebuilding. And Robert Saleh trying to figure out what he's got. And the answer is, right now, not a whole lot.
No, not a whole lot. And so what? It's a lot to figure out all in one time. But I'm looking at the Jets, and I'm looking at Zach Wilson and the improvements that he's made since the early part of the season. If he is able to kind of step up his game and have a better performance against the Patriots, the New York Jets are fully capable of knocking off the Patriots. The thing about the Patriots and what I want to see, they're not a lot of explosive weapons on the perimeter. And so they feast off turnovers, they feast off your mistakes. And so if the Jets can not beat themselves with turnovers, penalties, and big plays allowed, they have a chance in this game. And I kind of like what Robert Saleh is saying and what he's doing with his team.
Week two loss to New England 25-6. And then the blowout loss, Denver, back when we liked Denver. We don't like Denver anymore. Tennessee, the win in overtime, one of those head scratchers that's going to stand there. And Tennessee Titans fans, we'll talk about them in a bit. That's a game that they've circled already as one that may kill them when it's all said and done. And then the 7-point loss to Atlanta ahead of the bye week. Coming out of the bye, not much on the injury report. CJ Mosley with the hamstring is doubtful for the Patriots. As you would expect, there are 900 guys listed as questionable. I'll take New England to frustrate Wilson once again. That 7 is a really tough number, wishing it was just a shade under. But I'll still take them to have one more play and to cover that as well.
Man, look at you. One more play.
I'm not trusting the Jets, man.
No, you can't trust the Jets. I'm going to go with the Patriots as well. Give me the points.
Yeah. All right, you're taking the Jets with the points, though.
Yep.
Look at you. That's bold. You know, I need to hit the rewind button. I would be remiss if I didn't get Nick to chime in on his Atlanta Falcons again, because I don't know if it's a Deadpool hat disguised as a Falcons hat or what's going on in there, but I definitely know that we've got a bright red Falcon sweatshirt going. So what are you expecting in that game? And can you get on a plane fast enough to go take advantage of that $11 deal?
I wish that I could get on a plane fast and take that deal. That is a great deal to get in that game. But overall, I think that Atlanta coming into this game, their defense is the big question mark. It's always been the big question mark for many, many years. Dean Pease, they has been trying to get that 3-4 scheme working as he did in Baltimore all those years ago. But as you mentioned, Mike, Dante Fowler out, Avery Williams out. They're thin at corner, looks like. And I don't know. It's going to be a tight game, I think. But I think the Falcons, I'm not being a fan here, I just think the Falcons might be able to just to squeeze this one out just because, as I said, I think we got Matt Ryan, those weapons. Kyle Pitts coming into his own. I like Atlanta.
There you have it.
Sounds a lot like a fan.
That's okay. He's allowed.
He sounds a lot like a fan.
He dressed for the part today, so we would have been remiss if we didn't acknowledge that as we go. Thanks, Nick. All right, let's turn it over our guy Isaac Lohengrin as we get rolling here, week 7 of your National Football League in earnest. Hi, Ilo.
Hello, Mike. Hello, Bucky. Our World Series matchup is set. It's a pair of former National League West rivals. Who would have thought back in the days of those games at Fulton County Stadium and the Astrodome that one day they would be meeting in the World Series? The Houston Astros already there, and on Saturday night, the Atlanta Braves joined them.
There's a shot to Dansby. He slides to it. He's got it. Throws over. There is a new champion of the National League, and the Atlanta Braves are going to the World Series.
The call on WCNN as they defeated the Los Angeles Dodgers 4-2, won the series 4-2. Eddie Rosario, the decisive 3-run home run in the bottom half of the fourth inning. In college football on Saturday night, fourth-ranked Alabama defeated Tennessee 52-24. Bryce Young threw for 373, 2 touchdown passes, also 2 touchdown runs. Brian Robinson ran for 3 touchdowns. Fifth-ranked Ohio State winning at Indiana 54-7. C.J. Stroud completing 21 of 28 for 266 with 4 touchdowns. 13th-ranked Notre Dame defeating USC 31-16. Kyron Williams ran for 138 with 2 touchdowns. Number 17, Texas A&M over South Carolina 44-14. Devon Achane ran for 154 and a touchdown. And Miami knocked off 18th-ranked NC State 31-30. Tyler Van Dyke threw for 325 with 4 touchdown passes. Two of them to a guy who I feel has one of the best names in sports these days, Charleston Rambo. 9 catches for 127 yards, 2 touchdowns. Charleston Rambo. Finally, in the NFL, Adam Schefter reporting Raiders tight end Darren Waller not expected to know until pregame warmups today whether he can play against the Eagles because of an ankle issue. Mike and Bucky, back to you.
Can't wait to see the trading card mashups with Sylvester Stallone. Thanks, Adam. Screaming, going, ah! At Isaac Lowenkron, where you find him on Twitter. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Bucky, at Bucky Brooks. Having some fun with you. It's week 7 of the National Football League. This is Fox Football Sunday on Fox Sports Radio. And this is a game that's so intriguing to me, Bucky. We had to isolate it, give it its own little piece of real estate here on the map. A team that people did not like. A quarterback that nobody liked.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not nobody. You know what I mean. The collective. The Hive didn't believe, but maybe now they do. Let's get to that game.
My name, my touch. Bengals and Ravens.
All right, everybody's jumping on board, Joe Burrow and the Bengals, but you got Baltimore, winners of 5 straight, 6.5-point favorites at home, 46 is the total. Last week, an absolute beatdown of the Los Angeles Chargers, 34-6. Coming off the short week, that emotional win on Monday Night Football, coming back against the Indianapolis Colts, 31-25 in OT. They come right back out, and they take the Chargers, and they take them and just destroy them from pillar to post, 34-6, your final. Lamar Jackson didn't have to pass for a ton of yards. Why? Because all of those throwback running backs, you get a touchdown. And you get a touchdown. Lev Bell get a touchdown. Devontae Freeman with the score. Just absolute insanity, as it were. Latavius Murray scored. Now he's got an ankle injury. He will not play this week. Sammy Watkins also out for Baltimore. Number of players on the questionable list, including a couple of offensive linemen. Expected to go, though, for the Bengals. Short list. And right now, looking like they're back at full strength, at least offensively. Joe Mixon, obviously dangerous out of the backfield. T. Higgins is back up and running with the ones. He, Tyler Boyd, and of course Jamar Chase offering a nice trio for Joe Burrow. But what we've seen for Lamar Jackson, all of a sudden everybody realizing, hey, you know what? This kid can pass.
He absolutely can pass. I think this has been this is an outstanding matchup. Cincinnati Bengals have really come a long way this season in terms of Joe Burrow, the weapons on the offense, their ability to control the game with their offense. They have a hard-playing defense, and it's one of those things where you hear coaches talk about, if you want a defense that plays hard, go and get a bunch of players that play hard. So they get Trey Hendrickson to go with Sam Hubbard. You have Von Bell over there. They get Chido Awuzie to come and play, and they have played lights-out ball. But then the Baltimore Ravens, despite all the injuries, Lamar Jackson is there, and this team continues to win. Outstanding AFC North matchup.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing right now through 6 games, Bengals have only allowed 16 sacks. Right? While it's not at the bottom, it's a much better track than they were on last year when we saw Joe Burrow under siege. And part of that is, you know, rookie quarterbacks is going to hang onto the ball a little bit, separation of playmakers, all of those things. But that line was, by all accounts, you know, one of the worst that we've seen in the last, you know, maybe a handful of years. And now a little more, and Burrow more decisive with the football. For Baltimore, you know, they've gone through a number of injuries on both sides of the ball. Obviously, we know about the running back situation to start the season. But now you get Rashad Bateman back in, and you saw even one of the mistake that Lamar did make. He had him open, just missed that the linebacker had drifted back into coverage. Had a nice little slant coming across the middle.
Yes, that
it was could have been a big play with a lot of green in front of him, except unfortunately the linebacker read it perfectly and he missed him, which is what we get from the All 22 and our you know sight line far above. But I'm liking what I'm seeing from Baltimore right now on both sides of the ball. That defense that was much maligned, right? Mm-hmm. That back seven starting to come together a little bit, and you saw how they frustrated Justin Herbert and company. I'm expecting more of the same. I'm going to take Baltimore to win at home, and they're going to cover. They're winning by at least a touchdown today.
Ooh.
How's that for spicy?
I don't know about that. By a touchdown, like that's a guarantee over there.
Well, I don't know. You went big last. Look, I got to give you credit because you called blowout last week for Baltimore over Los Angeles.
Yeah, this is a coming out party for the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm gonna go with the Bengals to cover in this situation. I think it's a tighter game. I think it is decided by a Justin Tucker field goal at
the end. Look at
that! But we're gonna earn the respect of the Cincinnati Bengals today.
All right, I like it. That is the game to watch so far. I mean, there's a couple on the slate that are really intriguing, and people are already starting to look ahead to next Thursday night because it's Green Bay, Arizona, right? So you start getting that. That's a spicy matchup to start the next week. But hold on. We got to play all a Sunday slate before we get that far. For Lamar Jackson, it's always been just the question, and there were only one or two evaluators in the whole thing about the wide receiver. So whenever people bring that up, like that was a non-issue, right? That was one guy's opinion, and we know that's generally he just wants people to run routes just in case, right? It's an old head way of thinking, and we just kind of shrug to it. But I think the overall, you know, the way Baltimore has always run their squad, they didn't rely on him to wing it all over the place either.
No, they haven't. But I think some of the Lamar Jackson stuff speaks to the old head, the old school way of evaluating the quarterback position and how you used to look at quarterbacks and those things. And he plays the game differently. The way that you see him play, the way that you see him run around, the way that you see him utilize all the different talents, it's a different hustle, different look. But it has worked for the Baltimore Ravens, and to the credit, the Baltimore Ravens have made sure that they put the right weapons around him. They've enabled him to play to his strengths, and so I love it. I think it is kind of the dawn of a new era, particularly at quarterback.
Now you got Andrews up and moving. First couple of weeks, he wasn't much of a target, particularly in the red zone, and we've seen more of that the last couple of weeks. Because I always defended Harbaugh because people were like, oh, why is he running so much, whatever. It's like, if you have an athlete, it's like when Cam Newton was playing, right? If you have a guy and he has a skill set, the rest of it can work and grow. But we need him to be him now. This is what makes him special now.
Yes.
Right? So why would we take any of that away? And he deflected a lot of criticism, and that was national and certainly local in Baltimore. A lot of people coming at him saying, why aren't we pushing the downfield game? It's like, we got a guy who's special.
Yeah.
So why am I going to suddenly take that out of my playbook?
Yeah, now it's one of those things where you want to see him – Lamar Jackson continue to evolve, but you also don't want to take from what makes him really, really special. And his superpowers are his athleticism, his playmaking ability. And so you want him to fully lean into that. And they have done that. But you also want him to grow because as he ages out, you want him to have other things that he can rely on so they can continue to have him as their franchise quarterback.
It's the Felix the Cat philosophy. You got to have something else in that bag of tricks, Bucky.
Can
I just show my age there?
I mean, I don't know if...
I mean, Felix the Cat is something people should really know.
I mean, you might as well bring out Heathcliff and everybody else, you know?
And Marmaduke, nicely done.
Marmaduke, let's do it.
Hey, sometimes the classics still work, Bucky. Come on now.
They always work.
He's Bucky Brooks. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Football Sunday here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, an intriguing game in Sin City that got spicier based on an addition to the injury report. We'll talk about that next here on Fox.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. It's Fox Sports Radio, Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside Bucky Brooks, having fun with you, rolling through the games of Week 7. Hard to believe Week 7 is already upon us. It is the big bye week again. Buffalo, Dallas, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, the Chargers, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Fresh off their win, get the extra week to celebrate, get a little bit healthier, and perhaps try to get something together for Urban Meyer, because it's always fun, because this is this type of time of season, Bucky, where we're starting to get the, well, this college coach may be out, right? Mm-hmm. We got the knowledge of LSU and Ed Orgeron, and obviously here at USC, we're broadcasting from Los Angeles, all the speculation of what's next in that regard. Miami's job will become open. So, you know, some of your perennial powerhouses and blue blood programs where it's like, well, maybe the worm turns. And then we're trying to figure out who that next guy is, whether it's coming from the college ranks or someone coming back down, not relegated from the pro. See, we're watching Premier League soccer, so, you know, you got to get the term relegation in at least once. But, you know, always a little bit of intrigue as it flows. And there is a game in Las Vegas today. Let's face it, coming off of last week's huge win, what can we see again from the Raiders?
Eagles at Raiders.
2.5 or 3 is the line. Obviously, you'd love that -2.5 if you are leaning Raiders way. 48.5 is your total for this one. Right now, the Raiders top 10 in terms of turnover differential at a +3. Buffalo leading at +11 on the year right now.
You win a lot of games.
No, that's it. I mean, turnovers, what? It's 75% or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. So that's it. Win that one column. Whenever you go into team stats, just circle that one.
Yes.
That's usually how it comes. As we look at the injury report, we do have the update that we add Darren Waller to things here, ankle and knee injuries. So banged up, and obviously such a focal point of what Derek Carr is able to do in that offense. You're looking at a squad that really rallied from what was – well, all the negativity swirling around the squad, a lot of questions that had to be answered about any interaction with John Gruden over the last couple of years. And for team leaders like Derek Carr coming up, hey, you know, love the man, hate the sin kind of thing, but love the man. And then they rallied. They rallied with a big victory. And now you got Philadelphia coming in. Jalen Hurts, where it's still, is he your guy? Is he not? You keep hearing them in the Deshaun Watson. And you may like him if you're Nick Sirianni, but you may think, hey, if I can go get this other already established, proven quarterback, we can really accelerate the rebuild that we're under. As far as injuries, pretty short list for the Eagles. You've got Anderson on the offensive line, Harris in the secondary, questionable. Nick Bowers, tight end, is out, so blocking tight end. As well as now Waller. The Eagles do get Lane Johnson back after a couple of games away, talking about mental health and, you know, just trying to get himself right for the grind of the season. So that's a huge lift to that Philadelphia offense, particularly if you've been looking at the backfield and wondering when maybe Gainwell and Miles Sanders might be able to become more a part of this offense.
Yeah, it's time for them to become a part of it. Their coaches have talked about Miles Sanders being a bigger part of the game plan and how they need to feature him and utilize his talents to take some of the pressure off Jalen Hurts. Here's the thing. The Raiders are beginning to kind of come into their own. In spite of all the turmoil and controversy that kind of clouded the franchise after the John Gruden email scandal, when I look, I see a team that is really connected. And Rich Bisaccia's maybe leadership style as a special teams coach, he does a really good job of just kind of keeping himself in the background and allowing the players, the top players, to kind of run the team. I think that works with this team. This team is playing well. Coming off that last situation, I think the momentum carries them. I think they take care of business against the Eagles.
Philadelphia giving up 25 points per game for Derek Carr. You're looking at multiple backs. Jacobs leads the way, but you always have a little bit. Kenyon Drake there. They paid him a hefty amount of money. And with Peyton Barber going down, he reclaimed that number two role. And then you look at the speed receivers on the outside against Philadelphia's secondary. I think that's where they make some hay today. I didn't plan to rhyme, but it just kind of worked out that way. But Vegas, given three, I think I like them at home taking care of business and making the defensive front, making Hurts uncomfortable.
No, I'm with you on that. I like the Raiders to win outright, covering the line. This is a team that has an opportunity to make a little move. This is their chance. This is Rich Bisaccia's chance as well. Let's go with it. Let's go with the Raiders.
All right, let's get one more in here.
Washington at Packers.
All right, a lot of guys on the injury report for Washington. You're missing Curtis Samuel. He'd come back and, well, right back out of the lineup. Cosme on the offensive line with an ankle. Scherf out at the guard with a knee injury. So a couple of offensive linemen missing, which is big because, well, the Green Bay Packers haven't had much of a pass rush. Now that potentially opens the door to find a little bit of room. For the Packers, Dennis Kelly out on the offensive line. Josh Myers as well. I'd say the same for Washington, but I'm not so sure that those guys I don't know what's going on there, really, Bucky. That's one of the great mysteries of the first 6 weeks of this NFL season is what the hell happened to the Washington defensive front that was supposed to put them at least in games defensively? They're just getting shredded to the tune of 31 points per game.
Yeah, this is a big shocker. Many observers expected the Washington football team to be in the mix in the NFC East, and they have been a huge disappointment, maybe the biggest disappointment in football. Defensively, they just can't get a stop. And they can't get a stop despite having four first-rounders on that defensive line. Jack Del Rio is not really a big gambler. Doesn't want to blitz, doesn't want to bring people out of coverage to add to the rush, but they cannot get home and change the rhythm of the passing game. And so there you see it, giving up 31 points per game. Offensively, you're just not putting up points. So this is a tough one, man. I think the Packers continue to move on. I don't see the Washington football team getting off the mat in this one.
Well, and if you bring extra guys, Aaron Rodgers is going to own you too.
Yes.
Right? Just like he owned the Bears. Just own it, Aaron. Don't claim that you blacked out. You said what you said. Be a man. all right, coming up next, we'll continue through the games of Week 7. We'll also take a look back at what we've noticed through the first third. That's right, we're already a third of the way through our NFL season here on Fox.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Here we are, hour two of the program, cruising through here on a Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside Bucky Brooks. Find him on Twitter at Bucky Brooks. The man has a lot of pursuits during the football season. He's coaching, he's mentoring, he's analyzing Thursday nights on Amazon alongside our own Joy Taylor and Daniel Jeremiah. You've got showing up on Fox Sports Radio, FS1. When he goes, he suits up. There's some of that going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, all over the place. And then you read his work digitally, Fox Sports. Get the app, folks. Get all that knowledge that you can drop during the course of the week, as he does here on Sundays with me. Bucky, we're now a third of the way through the season.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nice and clean, because there's 18 weeks. 6 weeks are in the rearview mirror. Again, this week we've got six teams on bye. This is the big bye week for you. So navigating your guillotine leagues, good luck. Navigating your fantasy squads, if you're already down, well, maybe this is the one that allows you an opportunity to make up some ground. Buffalo, Dallas, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, the Chargers, and the Jacksonville Jaguars taking the week of rest and recuperation, and for some of those squads, the strategizing of, all right, what the hell do we do? The first 6 weeks did not go well for us, and now you try to recover. But as you've looked through the first 6 weeks, any big trends that you've noticed that have stood out? I mean, I think as we've analyzed some of the games this morning and made some of the projections and prognostication, it points to teams we thought coming into the year, the all 53 stacked up pretty well. The Miami Dolphins, not that the Washington football team were necessarily on the same page and level, but that you at least had a defense was going to give you a base, and then they haven't. Likewise, the Denver Broncos. Maybe the schedule was that clean early on to give them a chance, but all of a sudden, you know, the devil's in the details, and clearly clock management, game management, down distance, whatever, Vic Fangio and his staff struggling quite a bit. Much like, who was it, Colorado State in that field goal attempt going back to Friday night. That was just absolutely insane. You got a first down, the clock stopped, yet you're still sprinting out your field goal unit to try to kick the ball instead of downing it and giving yourself a shot. It feels like we see a lot of that in the NFL, and Mike McCarthy's name comes up a lot in that regard. But I think that's the big thing for me is that, look, we're sometimes wrong on these things, right, and evaluating a team. But for some of them, like the identity that seemed to have been established has just really gone to the wayside.
Yeah, it's tough because every year is different, right? And you can have a philosophy that you subscribe to and how you want to play the game, but your roster really dictates how you have to play. And what typically happens is you have these checkpoints throughout the course of the season that where you have to then make a turn. And I think we're at the point now where we're seven games into the season. You begin to have a better idea of who your team is and how to play to the strengths and their, you know, and mask their weaknesses. And that's what these teams are trying to do. And so some of the problems that we've seen early in the year, teams get it fixed. They get it fixed on the practice field because it's been harped on every day. Film sessions, meetings, on the practice field. And so they'll turn those issues around. Other teams won't be able to turn around because they're just incapable of, either through their personnel or inability to acquire the right personnel or their lack of tactical switching, like being able to switch their tactics and do things. And so it's tough, man, because there are a lot of these teams that I'm looking at that are below the line, and we'd say the line is 500, that are below the line, and I'm just surprised because these are teams that we thought would be competitors. Title contenders.
What's the biggest surprise on that side for you? A team that just is week to week, just you're scratching your head going, this is not what we evaluated, and certainly the identity of it.
I think the Washington football team, because I thought this team would be good, not because of their offense, but because of their defense. I thought defensively they would be able to get some things done, that they would be able to put together a defense that would hold opponents down, and they would be able to take advantage of those situations, and they haven't been able to do that. Defensively, they're not great, and offensively under Scott Turner, they just continue to just kind of flounder around.
What did you make of Ron Rivera's comments saying it would have been better not to win the division a year ago? And he put it in the context of expectations, whereas I think the subtext to it all is we're playing a much harder schedule than we would have otherwise.
I mean, it's probably a little bit of both. Harder schedule, but also it raised expectations because what happened, we overvalued how good this team was. This team is great, 7-9, but like, don't look at the record, look how they finished. Every year starts off. When you really look at this team offensively, they have one offensive weapon that really scares you. That's scary Terry McLaurin.
Sure.
Everybody else, there's no one that would command extra attention if you played them. Logan Thomas wouldn't. None of the running backs, Antonio Gibson, wouldn't. None of that stuff. So just very, very average and pedestrian. Defensively is where we thought they would make their biggest gains because we see that first-round front line, Montez Sweat, Chase Young, Jonathan Allen, and Deron Payne. We thought those guys would be able to control it up front, and they haven't. That's the biggest disappointment. That's why they're struggling. Defensively, they haven't been able to get control of the game.
Well, you also had given the keys to the to Ryan Fitzpatrick to start things.
Him and Heineke.
Taylor Heineke and all that other stuff. Completing about 64%.
Yeah, and that's also what I will say is this. Like, I think they believe that they could just plug in anybody at quarterback and go. And for a long time, this team has not had an A-level franchise quarterback. And they didn't like Haskins, so they punted on Haskins. They bring in Fitzpatrick. They sign Heineke off the street. And we're supposed to believe that those guys are going to be good enough to get them there. To me, it was always a failed plan. Just so many flaws right now that you see in the plan. I don't know, especially when
the one thing that was supposed to have been done right, that on paper you followed what was the script, right, with the defensive side of things.
The defense was supposed to be the part that was done right, and the defense has been the biggest disappointment. The defense was supposed to solidify everything, set it up for the offense, short fields, points down, and all of that part of it. Not really seeing that.
He's Bucky Brooks. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Football Sunday. Now let's go where the over-under is about as large as you're going to see in an NFL game.
Chiefs at Titans.
Kansas City on the road at Tennessee. Kansas City, the 4.5-point road favorite. 57.5 is your total in this one. Tennessee coming in at 4-2 behind the heroics, of course, of Derrick Henry and what he is just amassing numbers to boggle the mind. One of the stats Nick handed over, 50-plus rushing yards, 31 straight games, tied for the second-longest streak in the NFL since 1960. Wanted to get this in. Why? Because former Chiefs running back Priest Holmes, remember him? He carried a lot of your fantasy teams. Unfortunately, he got hurt, and that ended prematurely. Looked like he was going to have a tremendous run. 36 was his streak, 2001 to 2003. But you look at the Titans, that opening loss to Arizona, 38-13 at the time. Like, Arizona, what do we got from Arizona? Well, they're still undefeated. We'll get to them as the hour develops. But then wins over Seattle and Indianapolis, the loss to the Jets. We mentioned it before. We mentioned it again that, you know, which one of these is not like the other. Loss in overtime. Then you beat Jacksonville. So there was a lot of, all right, who have they beaten? What have they done? And then they go out and they win a hard-fought game against Buffalo. Obviously, no Taylor Lewan. He's going to miss the game with a concussion. But fortunately, that's all it was, right? And that it looks like he'll miss this week and should be able to get back up here in short order. You do have all of your weapons in your offense ready to go. Julio Jones, A.J. Brown. Brown had a good game last week, expecting perhaps this to be the breakout. Because when we talk about defenses and hand-wringing, Chiefs giving up 29.3 points per game. But folks seem to forget that Patrick Mahomes and that offense still are putting up their points. And yes, there have been turnovers, and they've been plentiful. They still give you offensive firepower from all angles on a week-to-week basis.
I mean, they have the firepower to be able to get it done. The Chiefs have to curb the turnovers, as simple as that. When they don't turn the ball over, they win games. Patrick Mahomes has to just make sure he doesn't get too cute. He toes the line as a gunslinger and playmaker, and sometimes you just need to dial that back a little bit. He's understanding of that. He now just has to put it into practice. The Titans, it starts and ends with the king. If you can stop the king, Derrick Henry, then you have a chance. But there have been few that have been able to put Derrick Henry in a checkmate. And so if you can't slow him down, you have a problem. It creates headaches for the rest of your defense because now you got to deal with the running game while A.J. Brown and Julio Jones are wearing you out with these intricate routes. And Ryan Tannehill has already proven that he can play at a high level. So it's about Derrick Henry. Can you slow down Derrick Henry? And the one thing that we know about Mike Vrabel, he's going to give him enough carries to see if you've solved the problem.
Chiefs giving up 133 yards per game on the ground. As we talked about, 29 points per game for Tennessee. Can they get enough? It's my obligatory weekly mention of Bud Dupree. You got to listen to the whole show. And you got to listen to Smith and I, 7 to 11 Pacific, every night. Here on Fox Sports Radio, but certainly on Fridays as we start doing game breakdowns. Looking, I guess, what gives in this game, Bucky? What gives?
It's tough, man, because it's about dictating the terms. Here's the issue. The Tennessee Titans can get the game on their terms, but the Kansas City Chiefs are so explosive that it doesn't matter. We saw it a couple years ago in the playoffs when they were able to kind of run it down their throat, but Kansas City gets hot, and before you know it, they put up 24 in 5 minutes.
Well, that's the thing. Even with all the turnovers, they're still a top five scoring offense.
Yeah, so
right, so they can still get on you just that fast.
So for me, I'm leaning towards the Chiefs because they have more ways that they can win compared to the Tennessee Titans. I think they find a way to just score and score and score because that's what they do.
All right, I'm with you. I'll take Kansas City to win, but I'm going to take those 4.5 points that the offense with Tannehill and his outside weapons against that KC defense, with Derrick Henry softening up the exposing the soft underbelly of those Chiefs.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I think it's just a great game.
It's one that
I just would love to just take a cup of, you know, whatever, and just sit back and watch it. But we got to make a pick for the purposes of the show. So.
Okay, so you're going to go with the Chiefs. I will go with the Chiefs as well. Coming off the Monday night tilt, it's going to be hard for the Titans to kind of gear back up again. That was a huge emotional win the way that they won it. Kansas City knocks them out.
Full knockout blow.
Yeah.
There you
knockout.
Go.
Knockout. That means
Bucky goes
point.
Strong with that pick. All right, coming up next, we got a couple of games that have all sorts of storylines. Maybe not a lot of interest in terms of the wins, losses, but storylines for days. We do that next here on Fox Football Sunday. Welcome back in. It's Fox Sports Radio's Fox Football Sunday. Having some fun with you, Mike Harmon, alongside Bucky Brooks, grooving along. We've got some Premier League soccer up already. Unfortunately, no London game to break down and mock. We didn't send another bad game across the pond this week anyway. They've been doing a lot of fan fest stuff here in Los Angeles. Really cool to see, you know, everybody out with their allegiance and their team colors. And look, you got a lot of folks here in our greater Los Angeles area. Well, we come from all over the world, right? A lot of transplants. So you get those kind of congregations. Like when you have a big event like that, and it doesn't seem like much, like, hey, you're there for a pregame, but you see how big it is for, you know, College Game Day and what we do on Fox. And like, it's become a fabric of those sports. And certainly you're trying to build soccer. Why not, leech on and grab on to the international and keep building, Bucky. It's good stuff.
Yeah, look, it's really good stuff. Keep building on it. Keep taking advantage of all the opportunities. All of that stuff is positive. It's for the betterment of the game.
Keep pushing the ratings and put the eyes on everybody else. It's a beautiful thing. It's all about growth and monetary. Well, everybody gets paid. Everybody wins. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that do take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes based on a 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations do apply. Did you like that filibustering? Because the next game we have to go into, point spread is really sizable.
Yeah.
Lions at Rams.
Rams given 16 or 16 and a half, depending on where you're at. The Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford game. You've heard about it all week long. No question about it. 50 and a half is your total. Before we get into our discussion here, Bucky, and what you've seen thus far from Detroit and certainly from the Rams as a contender, we go to our guy, Chris Perfett. We tag him in at Pride of Detroit is the where you see his writing and hear the audio and video, and at Chris Perfett on Twitter. So, all right, 0-6 coming to Los Angeles, heavy underdogs. I know you're not going to the game and you're sparing yourself the pain in person, but when you look at this game, is there any sliver of hope for you?
If I'm just analyzing it, not really. The Lions have kind of proven that their offense isn't really going anywhere right now. Jared Goff had a game last week against the Bengals where he threw the ball away on fourth down, and the mental mistakes are piling up. The inability to read his progressions are piling up, and it's leaving the offense with not a lot of time to do much of anything. It's not an offense right now that has talented wide receivers. It's an offense that now has injuries piling up on the offensive line, and now you've got to go and handle Aaron Donald. It's not going to be a fun day for the Lions offense out there, and the Lions defense has some deep talent that they've kind of like they've put a lot of their faith in young guys, and that's not going to really be enough to handle the Rams offense. It's kind of a concoction that's not really leaving me much reason to take the Lions in this game at all, spread or not. And I think just the big story again is just going to be Lions fans sad to see Stafford go and kind of maybe close the book on that. But I don't know how much the Jared Goff, Sean McVay drama, which gets some more headlines just because of the acrimonious breakup, is going to really bear fruit here, just because it feels like Sean McVay is just going to have more weapons to pound down Jared Goff and that offense into the ground right in this game. I've got the Rams, and I don't know how big. I don't know. I know some people like to take this trendy pick to say that, you know, the Lions have a lot of heart, and they do, but that heart isn't really making dividends on the field right now.
Yeah, we did that a couple of weeks ago, Bucky, and it punched us in the throat in a game where we thought maybe we'd see a little bit of fight
I like what they're doing. I like what they're doing. I like what Dan Campbell and their staff is doing. It's just the reality. The flesh is just weak right now.
Where you're at, right? We talked about it with the offensive
negative
line.
Negative Nancy's over here. Just negative, negative, negative.
But all right, find me games. Some positive then.
How about these close games that they played? 19-7 against the Baltimore Ravens. How they came back and showed some fight against the Niners in week one. Minnesota game, which should have been another dub. They should have two, maybe three dubs on the ledger.
But they don't. They lost all the close games, Bucky. And what is the hallmark of bad teams? You lose close games.
It was pretty damning when Dan Campbell said their offense is coming out and getting a lot of points because teams go to prevent and cover two at the end of these games.
I mean, so here's the thing. Jared Goff is listening right now. He hears all the stuff. He hears a faithful, devoted Lions fan just basically just saying they have no chance. Today's the day. Today's the day that the pride rises up.
Are you calling for an upset win?
Today's the day that the Lions come out. Oh, they not only cover, but they get a dub and Jared Goff's on it. And I have visions of them carrying Jared Goff off the field on their shoulders. I feel like this is the one for JG.
What did they put in your coffee?
No, this is Jared Goff. It's Jared Goff's day today. It is his day today. He wants to show the Rams people that they disparaged him because they have disparaged him like he was boo-boo to food, like he was terrible at quarterback, and Sean McVay just lifted him up. And the day is coming, too, where Matthew Stafford is going to have to show and prove people that all these verbal bouquets we've been throwing at his feet, at some point we can get in the playoffs, and we have time. We're going to see if he's a playoff guy, if he's really the guy that we all think he is, because he is the greatest to have never done anything.
Listen, go ahead. I love you, but I like it,
if only because my co-host Ryan has on our podcast has the Lions and the money line here, and if Bucky's true, then he stands to make – enough money to probably get me Christmas gifts.
Look at that. Nicely done. Yeah, no, look, I Jared Goff is on my list, and we've talked about this, of guys I've defended that the general media consensus, they buried them. And that goes back Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. There have been a number of guys that went on to great things, right? Even the Mitchell Trubisky thing. Because all of a sudden, when people start spinning like, well, Matt Nagy's gone to the playoffs two or three times. Well, Mitch Trubisky was his quarterback.
Yeah.
So if all of a sudden you're going to start saying how great Matt Nagy is, he gets to come out of the trash bin that everybody put him in. Likewise, Jared Goff, I think he's a better quarterback. Like, look, the fourth down situation that Chris referred to, those are plays scratch your head,
it's an egregious thing. I think here's the thing. Whatever people feel about Baker Mayfield, you probably feel the same way about Jared Goff. He is very system dependent, and that's the overwhelming majority of most quarterbacks in the league, with a handful of like 7 or 8 guys. They need to be in the right system to elevate their talents. And so when they talk about Sean McVay and all that other stuff, yes, the system that he played in was heavily play-action driven. The Rams aren't using that same system, though. The Rams are now using a system that is more drop-back oriented because of Matthew Stafford is not really a play-action passer. And so some of this is those things. But when we look at the Lions were a bad team. He's on a bad team. You can't expect a quarterback to do it.
They got rid of anybody who caught a football.
I can't even name three receivers on the Lions team. I don't know three receivers.
What do we got? We got Cephas.
Amon-Ra St. Brown. And who else? Yeah.
Khalif Raymond.
There you go, Khalif Raymond.
Yeah.
Like no one even knows. Even deep fantasy nuggets don't know.
Traded for Kadarius Hodge this year,
this week you might see Raymond on a couple of rosters based on bye weeks and injuries. But, yeah, it's that. But they got rid of everybody,
Rid of everybody, and they want him to
And Hockenson's getting pretty well covered in these games,
and he's
too.
Banged up.
Yeah.
Right?
The only thing I'll say on – the last thing I'll say on Goff is, like, he just needs to go through his read progressions better. It's becoming first read or check down, and that's becoming the fault that's getting them there. It's too much throwing behind the sticks.
Well, and you're also looking at, as you pointed out, for weeks, that offensive line's terrible. What are you doing? You're yelling hot route wedding crashers on every down.
I mean, he's looking at his receivers through the ear hole. because he's getting pummeled in the back.
Yeah, I mean, their right tackle, Matt Nelson, I don't think he's played the position before. He's still learning it.
Yeah, and yeah, so my guy, and so Dan Campbell with those two 40-ounce jugs of Java coming in, they're all caffeinated up. That's why he's so emotional after pressers. It's not him being emotional. It's the sugar crash. It's him coming off of the crash of all of that coffee that he's consumed throughout the day.
I just come back to this. Like, when everybody was laughing at him before, like, I want a straight shooter, right? We get it, and then people are mad when we get it,
yeah,
right?
I
like I said, with the Aaron Rodgers thing, I own you, whatever. You said it. Yeah. I love it. Be the villain, right? Why we talk about the Astros? You might still have a lot of issues and hand-wringing over how they've made it, right? Because you've seen the sausage made. And given the penalty that they got, you can't tell me that there's still not an incentive to potentially still be up to some chicanery.
Yeah.
You lose $5 million, two draft picks, and two guys had to walk the plank for a year? Are you kidding me? For a World Series title? Sign me up.
I mean, because the
ring. Come on now.
I still get to keep the ring, right?
I get to keep the ring.
I still get to keep
the
ring.
And I get to sell a bunch of merch and suite tickets and tickets, and I made $100 million in a year. I'm not looking away. So when you become the villain, embrace it. So the Astros embraced it. Dan Campbell is embracing. This is who I am.
It's like when Hulk Hogan went from wearing the yellow to wearing the black. Like,
right, the Hulk NWO, Hogan, baby.
Yeah, like Hulk Hogan has done that. So that's what we want to do. Tag him in. So Dan Campbell is, I guess he's making Jared Goff to be the villain within his own team. But I feel like this is the week. This is the week of all
the weeks. I love your optimism, and I hope you're right. Because chaos ensues. Because if Matt Stafford and the Rams lose this game.
Can you imagine?
Are you kidding? That's a whole week.
Can you imagine if he outplays Matthew Stafford? Like, just for Monday morning fodder.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how much fun that would be if he throws for 350 yards and five touchdowns against the Rams, and Matthew Stafford just delivers up a stinker.
I might not let Plank and Spanier come on air. I might commandeer the studio.
That's the one word there is Sisyphean, because he's beaten the Buccaneers. He's beaten all these big teams. He's got over the jokes about, oh, you can't beat teams with 500 records. Now, if he loses to a winless Lions team, wow. Like,
I think
they'll
be throwing championship belts down, raining them out down on the Lions if that were to happen. I will take the Lions and the points.
Okay.
I think they fight them.
Yeah, I mean, I think they fight. I think they're very competitive.
I think if they win it, but if they win it, Bucky, I mean, we'll play that back for
I think if they win it, I think Dan Campbell runs across the thing and hits Sean McVay with an elbow, atomic elbow drop.
Oh, he Goldberg spears him, and then gives him the rock bottom. Calls him a candy ass and the whole other thing. All right, let's go to Isaac Lowenkrog, get an update on what's going on. That was great.
That was great.
Hey, Ilo.
A Wedding Crashers reference and a Hulk Hogan reference all in the same segment fit seamlessly. In fact, standing by with his reaction to that segment and the reference to him, Hulk Hogan himself.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania runs wild on you,
brother?
Apparently he had coffee with Dan Campbell this morning.
Yeah, no question.
Brother.
All right. We do have some pro football news this morning, and that involves another NFL head coach, Cliff Kingsbury. He is officially going to be back on the sidelines for today's game against the Houston Texans after he cleared COVID protocols this morning. Kingsbury had to miss last Sunday's game at Cleveland, which the Cardinals won anyway to remain undefeated after he tested positive for COVID last week. So Cliff Kingsbury officially back on the sidelines today for the Arizona Cardinals. In Game 6 of the National League Championship Series on Saturday night.
There's a shot to Dansby. He slides to it. He's got it. Throws over. There is a new champion of the National League, and the Atlanta Braves are going to the World Series.
The call on WCNN as they defeated the Los Angeles Dodgers 4-2 to win the series 4-2. Eddie Rosario, the decisive 3-run home run in the bottom of the fourth inning. So it'll be the Braves and the Houston Astros in the 2021 World Series. In college football Saturday night, number 4, Alabama toppled Tennessee 52-24. Bryce Young threw for 373 with two touchdown passes, also two touchdown runs. Brian Robinson additionally ran for three touchdowns. Fifth-ranked Ohio State won big at Indiana 54-7. C.J. Stroud completing 21 of 28 for 266 with four touchdowns. 13th-ranked Notre Dame defeating USC 31-16. And Miami knocked off 18th-ranked NC State 31-30. Mike and Bucky, let the references continue.
Woo! yeah, we got a couple teams that, I mean, they like to throw out some barbs too. You got a couple of coaches that'll get after it in the press. So, yeah, Fox Football Sunday continues. He's Bucky Brooks. I'm Mike Harmon. And this is a battle of teams that, well, they're going to play a game.
Panthers and Giants.
Matt Rhule, Joe Judge, let's get it on! Carolina, 3-point favorites on the road, 42.5 the number. You've got lots of injuries floating around through that Giants offensive set of weaponry. No Barkley, no Galladay, no Tony. Which means he won't get to fight anybody this week either. So he's out. Expected to play John Ross, so he gets some of these go routes back into the offense. Darius Slayton, still with a hammy, but expected to go. And Evan Engram, the guy we keep waiting to become a dominant superstar. And that wait continues for another year. But back at practice, Sterling Shepard, also a limited participant in practice. Out for the Panthers, Terrace Marshall Jr., the rookie wide receiver with a concussion. Shaq Thompson out at linebacker. And Cam Irving, neck and some illness. He'll miss the game. There's one of your tackles. From an offensive line, that really is the thing you circle for the Carolina Panthers, right? DJ Moore, you've got some playmakers, and even Chuba Hubbard is substituted for Christian McCaffrey pretty well, right? Just like Mike Davis a year ago. I mean, he's not the same guy.
Not the same.
But you're still, like, you change it up a little bit. But as a runner, he's been pretty effective behind a bad offensive line. But you've got the Panthers, losers of three straight, the overtime loss as Osborne caught that pass from Kirk Cousins, 34-28. The week before, narrow loss to Philly, and then the 8-point loss to Dallas. Game that finishes closer than perhaps it played for a good chunk of it. But you're looking at a Carolina team trying to find its identity again after an early start, much like we talked about with Denver earlier in the show. And for the Giants, whether Daniel Jones is their guy or not, a team that can't seem to take two steps forward without sliding back a little bit. Yeah, that's it. I got opposites attracting. Paula Abdul, people.
I mean, this is
top dad.
This is an interesting game because we have Sam Darnold, who started out early. It was a great Cinderella story, but the clock has struck midnight on Sam Darnold. Like, he is what he is, like, in terms of turning the ball over and those things. And then we have, I didn't know, Joe Judge taught me this week that fish stinks from the head, not from the entire body. I didn't know that. Like, that's a new one for me.
And I'm going to have to look that up. Okay? Maybe maybe I'll just buy some fish and watch what happens.
So I'm sitting here trying to figure out who wins between two hard-playing teams. The Panthers appear to have maybe the better roster because their defense is lights out. The Giants are playing at home, and I feel like they kind of rise up. The stuff that you hear from New York, coaches, I mean, the players still respect Joe Judge. They're still listening to the message. I think the message is heard today. They get a win.
Carolina giving up 20.2 points per game. Giants sitting down towards the bottom here, giving up 29.5 a game. But can Sam Darnold put up 29 points? The answer is no. So, yeah, this one's strikes a field goal game. I'm looking at the over-under of 42.5. I think that might be generous. I think this is a slugfest where we play like between the 20s.
Like an old school slugfest.
I'll take the Giants in the upset. I'm with you.
Yeah.
It's gonna be in an ugly game. I just don't think this is a pretty game.
I don't think this one will be shown on red zone much.
No, maybe a little bit of Chuba Hubbard for you there. Booker on the other side. Maybe the running backs play a little bit, that you get a little bit of run there. But otherwise, that one's not aesthetically pleasing. All right, but here's one that could be.
Saints at Seahawks.
No, I'm kidding. The Saints, 4.5-point favorites on the road in Seattle. Again, a number that you do a double take. You do the squint and rub your eyes going, am I seeing this really in Seattle? 42.5, your total. Jameis Winston and company starting to get healthy in the receiving core a little bit here as the season wears on. Still trying to figure out exactly what happens with Michael Thomas and whether he finds his way back in the lineup, but he's not there yet. Taysom Hill, the Swiss Army knife, as he's often called, he's out because of a concussion, a scary hit. Deontay Harris, the wide receiver, out with a hammy. Callaway is up. Opportunities perhaps downfield here against a beleaguered Seattle secondary. I wanted to get the word beleaguered in. They're giving up about 25 points per game. You look at New Orleans, that defense, we'd expected great things from them all throughout the year, and now starting to pay a little bit of dividends. They're up to, you know, tied for third in terms of points allowed, and that's all that matters, right? Anybody that's trying to tell you about total defense and yardage allowed, I don't care. No. Do you give up points?
Yeah, it's all about points and turnovers. When you look at defense, can they turn the opponent over and can they keep the opponent from scoring? Those are things that you have to focus on. Yeah, those other stats, total yards and all that, like, are nice, but it really comes down to keeping them out the end zone and seeing if you can give your offense extra opportunities. When I think about the Saints have been able to do this with it. Injuries really kind of ravaging the roster. They haven't been without – I mean, they've been without Michael Thomas on the outside, so we haven't really seen their offense get clicking. And then there's been a number of injuries on defense that's kept that lineup from really being intact. But now everybody's coming back. And so when the defense is fully loaded, it changes the way that Sean Payton is able to call plays on offense, because he can be more aggressive because he knows his defense can hold it down. The Seahawks with Geno Smith, man, too tough. Saints.
Saints go and run this. I'd be curious to see what Seattle – I mean, you still have the playmakers, right, DK, and you've got Tyler Lockett, who's kind of lost in all of this process at this point. But for the Saints, 3-2 on the year. Leading receiver, you want to take a guess how many receptions your leading receiver has?
12.
15 with Alvin Kamara.
Okay.
But the leading wide receiver, Callaway, has 13.
Oh, man, that's
– Deontay Harris has 12, and then it goes down to 6 for the two tight ends, Troutman, who got hurt, and he's banged up a bunch, and Juwan Johnson, who's also been banged up a little bit. So they haven't been in the lineup. And Chris Hogan did retire.
Yeah, Chris Hogan did retire.
He had a good run.
Yeah.
10 years in the league, though.
10 years. Who would have thought? I saw that come across the tick. I was like, man, he got 10 in?
He got 10 in.
That is a nice run, and he played a little lacrosse in between, the back and forth.
No, that's good for him, man. Good. Hey. I celebrate them all, right? Anybody that makes it to that, like, look, you make it to college ball. Yeah. It's a big deal. You make it to the pros, you might not be, you know, a guy who's heading to the Hall, but you made it.
He made it. Chris
and when
Hogan,
you talk about
great,
percentage chances and stuff, man.
Great, great career. Way to do it. So we think about that. So let's make sure that the Saints give Chris Hogan a nice send-off since he retired as a member of the Saints. Saints in this one.
I like that. All right. We've got two more games left on the schedule. One is, well, should be a laugher, but you never can tell. But the other is the Sunday night football game that I think we're all a bit intrigued as we're going to see. So let's get into those next as we continue on Fox Football Sunday. We're brought to you by one of our favorite cities. Las Vegas. That's right. You're home for live sports, and that means all sports. Every game, match, race, competition. It is always on. Now go on. Plan your trip at visitlasvegas.com to see the best and brightest in Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. I got to make a drive, too. I got a couple of these New Year's concerts that are starting to get announced.
Yeah.
I think the kids and I are going to go find us some chaos here as the holidays approach.
Chaos is good.
Well, Vegas has become, you know, more, there's lots to do with your family now.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Lots,
10, 15 years ago, maybe not so much. But right now, between all the shows, and look, the buffets have reopened, too, in a lot of places. And, you know, because I am a glutton for punishment and a glutton in general.
I mean, that's one of my favorites now. I will say I am a huge fan of the buffet.
It is worth the money in Vegas as well. Often imitated. Never duplicated. No question about it. All right, we got two games left to go. I figure we can get through this next one fairly quickly.
All right, Eddie, cut. Texans at Cardinals.
All right, maybe a little more than that. Cardinals, 17.5 or 18-point favorites, depending on where you're getting your action. The defense, Vance Joseph doing the job defensively. Because, I mean, we know Kyler Murray. We know Cliff Kingsbury. We know all the offensive weaponry, the resurgence of A.J. Green.
Mm-hmm.
Rumors of his demise greatly exaggerated. And the fact that Larry Fitzgerald was about ready to pop out. Hey, they found a guy to go slide right into your role right there. DeAndre Hopkins and company. I mean, it's been fantastic. Edmonds and Connor in the backfield. But Vance Joseph in the defense is really the spotlight. And that's why it's going to be a long day for young Davis Mills once again.
Yeah, it could be a very long day for a young Davis Mills. The only thing is, normally when we see these games on the ledger and we say, there's no way, they rise up. The Texans have played teams
tight at times.
You just never know which one you're going to get. Davis Mills had a lot of success against New England Patriots. I want to say he had over 300 yards, found his rhythm. The Cardinals' defense, though, they're not getting enough attention because everyone focuses on Kyler Murray and the job that he's doing playing at an MVP level. But defensively, Vance Joseph has really been punching all the buttons. This team turns it over a ton. J.J. Watt, Chandler Jones up front getting after it. In the back end, Bubba Baker. I'm thinking Bubba Baker from
NASCAR. Look at that. No, I love it. Bubba Wallace. But yeah. No, Bubba Baker was, was the Giants?
Was he with the
Giants? Is that what I'm going through?
Also,
am I wrong?
Is he also the NASCAR guy?
I don't know. Could be.
Regardless.
Either way, we got Bubba.
This defense is getting it done, and they have a lot of weapons that they can throw at you on the defense side of the ball. So I like the Cardinals versus the Texans in this one, and it's a bit of a revenge game, a redemption game. J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins, who are former Texans legends.
There you go. You got Bubba Baker, who was a draft pick of your Detroit Lions, 3 Pro Bowls in his career, the 78 Defensive Rookie of the Year. So I didn't have the team right, but I did at least remember that he played in the National Football League. Lions, Cardinals, Browns, Vikings, and the Browns once again. 3-time Pro Bowl, an All-Pro in 1978. There you go. There's your are they beating the number? That's the question. 17.5 or 18. Can Houston hang? Or do we see the defense hang out another big one?
I think Houston hangs on that number. I think they hang in there. I think they're below the line when it comes to that. I don't see them winning, though.
Okay.
No wins.
I'm gonna lay the points, that turnover differential being the thing, that they get one more and they take it to the house. Take it to the house. Last game!
Colts at 49ers.
42.5, you're over under. San Francisco given either 3.5 or 4, depending on where you are looking here. The home favorite. You look at Carson Wentz starting to find his stride. Michael Pittman, no T.Y. Hilton. He was back for a game. Well, and now he's back out. So we don't have him back here. And you're looking at the outside chance here of, well, some of those secondary options. Paris Campbell's unavailable to them. He had to have surgery, but they do get Quentin Nelson back. He is expected to play in this one for the 49ers. It's the Jimmy Garoppolo show.
It is the Jimmy Garoppolo show, and they want to run the football. They want to set it up. They're going to take some shots early because they have trust in the veteran quarterback. And we can say that they want to move on from him, but he's been good whenever he has played for them. The Colts, though, this is the Colts' opportunity to get back. We saw Carson Wentz begin to kind of find his stride. Jonathan Taylor has been fantastic as their RB1. And defensively, DeForest Buckner on a big stage gets a chance to take on his old team. Give me the Colts. I think they play hard. I think they play well.
Running behind, getting Nelson back, absolutely huge. Jonathan Taylor's been fantastic. Still waiting to see what happens with Marlon Mack. I think winning games makes it far less likely that he gets his trade hopes accomplished here, and you've actually seen him run a bit more the last couple of weeks. Circling back just to the prior game and your pick of Houston plus the 18, Chandler Jones is on the COVID list.
Oh, yeah.
Last second chance, maybe, wishing, wanting, hoping he gets cleared, but most likely not going to be available. So maybe a little more room for your guy, Mr. Mills, to make a play. But fun getting through the games of Week 7. Appreciate the crew, Nick, Chris, and Ilo. For Bucky, I'm Mike. Go enjoy the games of Week 7. If you're Fantasy Ross needs help, find me now. Welcome back in. It's Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside Bucky Brooks. We got two games to get to finish out the week that is Week 7 already in your National Football League season. Short slate. 6 teams on bye. Again, you're filling a lot of holes blown in your fantasy lineups. And for prognostication purposes, maybe you got to dial down on these other games a little bit more because, well, you still want your action. Buffalo, Dallas, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, your Chargers, and the Jacksonville Jaguars, your 6 teams that are off. But a reminder that we're brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas. That's right. You're home for live sports. And that means all sports. Every game, match, race, competition. It is always on. Now go on. Plan your trip at visitlasvegas.com to see the best and brightest in Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. I got to make a drive too. I got a couple of these New Year's concerts that are starting to get announced.
Yeah.
I think the kids and I are going to go find us some chaos.
Oh.
Here as the holidays approach.
Chaos is good.
In Vegas. Vegas has become, you know, more, there's lots to do with your family now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? 10, 15 years ago, maybe not so much. But right now, between all the shows, and look, the buffets have reopened too in a lot of places. And, you know, because I am a glutton for punishment and a glutton in general.
I mean, that's one of my favorites now. I will say I am a huge fan of the buffet.
It is worth the money in Vegas as well. Often imitated. Never duplicated. Yeah. No question about it. All right, we got two games left to go. I figure we can get through this next one fairly quickly.
Texans at Cardinals.
All right, maybe a little more than that. Cardinals, 17.5 or 18-point favorites, depending on where you're getting your action. The defense, Vance Joseph doing the job defensively. Because, I mean, we know Kyler Murray. We know Cliff Kingsbury. We know all the offensive weaponry, the resurgence of A.J. Green. Rumors of his demise greatly exaggerated. And the fact that Larry Fitzgerald was about ready to pop out. Hey, they found a guy to go slide right into your role right there. DeAndre Hopkins and company, I mean, it's been fantastic. Edmonds and Connor in the backfield. But Vance Joseph in the defense is really the spotlight. And that's why it's going to be a long day for young Davis Mills once again.
Yeah, it could be a very long day for a young Davis Mills. The only thing is normally when we see these games on the ledger and we say, there's no way, they rise up. The Texans have played teams tight
tough,
at times.
Yeah.
You just never know which one you're going to get. Davis Mills had a lot of success against the New England Patriots. I want to say he had over 300 yards, found his rhythm. The Cardinals' defense, though, they're not getting enough attention because everyone focuses on Kyler Murray and the job that he's doing playing at an MVP level. But defensively, Vance Joseph has really been punching all the buttons. This team turns it over a ton. J.J. Watt, Chandler Jones up front getting after it. In the back end, Buda Baker. I'm thinking Bubba Baker from
NASCAR. Look at that. No, I love it. Bubba Wallace. But, yeah. You know, Bubba Baker was it the Giants?
Was he with
is
the
that, that what I'm
is
going
he
through?
Also, is
Am
he
I
also
wrong?
The NASCAR guy?
I don't it know. Could be.
Regardless.
Either way, we got Bubba.
This defense is getting it done, and they have a lot of weapons that they can throw at you on the defense side of the ball. So I like the Cardinals versus the Texans in this one, and it's a bit of a revenge game, a redemption game. J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins, who are former Texans legends.
There you go. You got Bubba Baker, who was a draft pick of your Detroit Lions, 3 Pro Bowls in his career, the 78 Defensive Rookie of the Year. So I didn't have the team right, but I did at least remember that he played in the National Football League. Lions, Cardinals, Browns, Vikings, and the Browns once again. 3-time Pro Bowl, an All-Pro in 1978. There you go. There's your are they beating the number? That's the question. 17.5 or 18. Can Houston hang? Or do we see the defense hang out another big one?
I think Houston hangs on that number. I think they hang in there. I think they're below the line when it comes to that. I don't see them winning, though.
Okay.
No wins.
Yeah, I'm gonna lay the points, that turnover differential being the thing, that they get one more and they take it to the house. Take it to the house. Last game!
Colts at 49ers.
42.5, you're over under. San Francisco given either 3.5 or 4, depending on where you are looking here. The home favorite. You look at Carson Wentz starting to find his stride. Michael Pittman, no T.Y. Hilton. He was back for a game. Well, and now he's back out. So we don't have him back here. And you're looking at the outside chance here of, well, some of those secondary options. Paris Campbell's unavailable to them. He had to have surgery, but they do get Quentin Nelson back. He is expected to play in this one for the 49ers. It's the Jimmy Garoppolo show.
It is the Jimmy Garoppolo show, and they want to run the football. They want to set it up. They're going to take some shots early because they have trust in the veteran quarterback. And we can say that they want to move on from him, but he's been good whenever he has played for them. The Colts, though, this is the Colts' opportunity to get back. We saw Carson Wentz begin to kind of find his stride. Jonathan Taylor has been fantastic as their RB1. And defensively, DeForest Buckner on a big stage gets a chance to take on his old team. Give me the Colts. I think they play hard. I think they play well.
running behind, getting Nelson back, absolutely huge. Jonathan Taylor's been fantastic. Still waiting to see what happens with Marlon Mack. I think winning games makes it far less likely that he gets his trade hopes accomplished here, and you've actually seen him run a bit more the last couple of weeks. Circling back just to the prior game and your pick of Houston plus the 18, Chandler Jones is on the COVID list.
Oh, yeah.
Last second chance, maybe, wishing, wanting, hoping he gets cleared, but most likely not going to be available. So maybe a little more room for your guy, Mr. Mills, to make a play. But fun getting through the games of Week 7. Appreciate the crew, Nick, Chris, and Ilo. For Bucky, I'm Mike. Go enjoy the games of Week 7. If you're Fantasy Ross needs help, find me now.